there must be a person who tried to establish peaceful world always. But when you see the old world, it's pretty difficult for us to see beautiful aspects of human world. That time, most of the case, we are disappointed. But according to Diamond Sutra, Subhuti, one of Buddha's 10 major disciples, asked him, how do we teach the Buddha's teaching, which seems to be complicated, particularly in the world, in the confused world? The Buddha says there must be even one person who tried to teach Buddha's teaching under all circumstances. That is Buddha's answer, so you shouldn't think of it. You shouldn't be disappointed in this world, with this world, even though there seems to be nothing to help your life. Still, there is a person who helps you, teaching Buddha's teaching. So, Buddha says, don't think that. Don't be disappointed. Yeah. There is always some person who teaches Buddha's teaching. This person, according to Buddha's explanation, this person really practiced in his past life a certain particular Buddha's teaching based on no self and also no perception of Dhamma, no perception of subject, no perception of object for century after century. For many, many years, he saw Buddhas, many Buddhas, and practiced under them. What did he practice? He practiced the particular Buddhist aspect of Buddhist teaching, that is, no perception of self, subject, no perception of object. last week, I told you perception of self are divided into four one is we believe that there is something particular apart from ourselves. That something particular is a teaching of five skandhas. Because five skandhas is analysis of existence, how existence goes on. So according to Buddha, he analyzes existence into five aggregates: form, feeling, perceptions, impulses, consciousness. So we believe pretty easily that five skandhas are self, but five skandhas are nothing but the teaching apart from ourselves. So we believe pretty easily there is something particular apart from our lives, our daily living. This is one is understanding. So no perception of self. The second kind of ego consciousness is delays that which is, we believe there is that which is continuous, it continues. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it seems to be difficult for us to believe our growth from child to adult. So, it's pretty easy for us to believe that there is that which is continuous, from your birth to death. And then you believe, I am changing. I change. Then the idea of change comes into existence. But if you don't believe there is something or which is continuous, it's pretty difficult to get idea of change. It is pretty easy for us to believe that it's something particular which is continuous. And this is also second misunderstanding. So this is second ego consciousness. So no perception of a being. No perception of being. Third, if you believe the list that which is continuous, that is kind of a soul, unifying, harmonizing your life, sort of watchmaker. Okay? Watchmaker control one watch and the second watch. No matter how many watches there are, he offers control. So all watches goes exactly right in proper way. So that is watchmaker is sort of a soul, which exists forever and also has mighty or almighty to control your life. And all sentient beings, trees, birds, or universe. This is also third ego consciousness. That's why Buddha says no perception of soul. No perception of soul. The fourth kind of ego consciousness is we want to believe something particular, what is called karma, what leads you to be reborn in the next life. So karma is something particular, which is eternal entity, which leads you to next life. But actually, karma doesn't exist in that way. Other idea of entity, which exists forever, no? Karma is also one of the beings which is changing constantly, appear, disappear. When you yawn, that is your karma. If you are wrath, which is also karma. If you hate, if you express your anger, this is also karma. But right after anger, expression of your anger, you smile, well, another karma appears. So karma is really something vivified. Constantly, without having a particular idea, fixed idea, what seems to exist forever. Karma is appearing, disappearing, according to condition. So that's why no perception of a person. This is a kind of idea of karma. So, the ego can't know. No ego consciousness. This kind of bodhisattva who exists under all circumstances. teaching the Buddha's teaching, practiced for many, many years, this practice of no ego consciousness. No ego consciousness. Second, he practiced the no perception of object. Object means trees, birds, and also Buddha's teachings, everything. There are four kinds of perception of object. Negatively, because according to Diamond Sutra, this bodhisattva practiced four perception for no perception of object. One is everything is emptiness, nothingness. Nothingness or emptiness is not to destroy, okay? Subject and object or trees, birds, no. The emptiness means that a thing exists without any reason. Why? Or what? How? No reason. If you say why, you can explain why Karagi is Japanese. I can explain. But that's the explanation of Karagi, but the Higgs mark, why? Why I am Japanese? I don't know. I didn't choose. Why are you American? Can you choose? No. But you can explain why. But an explanation of the reason why you are American, well, cannot hit the mark. So, finally, American, you are American means emptiness. Nothing. That means you, American, exist without any reason. Rose, beautiful flowers, blooms, just to bloom. If you say beautiful flower blooms to work or to live or to please the people, but it is not real life of the beautiful flowers. The real life of beautiful flower is blooms just to bloom. So when you see beautiful flowers in the heart of the month, immediately you think of poor flowers, tiny flowers. Why don't you bloom in the beautiful garden that people see? But that is speculation, human speculation. But real life of flowers blooms just to bloom. You live to work. Why do you live? What is the purpose to live in this world? So you say, I live to work. Why I work to live? Or you say, I don't know. I just live. Whatever you say, it doesn't hit the mark. It doesn't help you. So you can, if you know I live to work or I work to live, this is pretty good. A little helpful for a certain period of time. So it's not real help. Real help is you live just to live. That's all you have to do. Because everything becomes emptiness. Everything returns to emptiness. No reason. No reason. To live is any way. Because the nature of existence, your life, or your questions, your answers are, anyway, absolute. Which you are pretty familiar with. So absolute is, it is exist by itself. The original nature of the self exists by itself. That means you are free. You are really free. So, everything is empty. Emptiness. And then, if everything is emptiness, that emptiness is that which is existent. That which is accurate, or that which is real. If it is true, the third, no possession of object is no possession. That means you cannot talk about it. Okay? You cannot talk about the absolute or original nature of the self or existence. Don't touch it. Untouchable. Okay? Untouchable. If you are touch it. If you are to touch it, it's not absolute. Okay? It's not absolute. So, I became a monk when I was 18 years old. So, why I became a monk? I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly. But I can explain. But if I explain why, well, it's not quite right. Not quite right. So, real reason why I became a monk is indescribable. Because that reason has been connected into my past life. No reason. So it's pretty difficult to describe. But whatever you pick up, your nose, your eyes, your head, or your body, whatever it is, finally, it's very difficult to describe what really is. This is third, okay? Third, no perception of object. Fourth is, if it is indescribable, the absolute is completely indescribable. No, you can describe, because here is a term, absolute. Okay? From where it comes, because someone knows. Okay? Maybe in the past, someone knew that absolute. Someone experienced the absolute. Someone experienced emptiness. Someone experienced original nature of existence. Someone. Okay? For instance, if I am master of the making of miso or tofu, okay? No one can imitate, okay? Exactly same as my tofu, okay? Exactly, good tofu, okay? In my way, no one can imitate. So that is the master of tofu maker, tofu maker, miso maker. But it's pretty difficult to teach making a menu. Of course, I can make a menu, but it's pretty difficult to teach the exactly same tofu as I make. I try to teach, but it doesn't hit the mark. But I know. So, here it is. The master of tofu maker. That's where you can get the title. Master of the tofu maker. That is absolute. Real meaning of how to make a tofu. But it's very difficult to describe. But here it is. Master of, as long as you have a title, Master of Tofu Maker, well, you are a person who experienced. If it is true, you know that. You know that. So, you can describe. You can describe. Then, next, you have the right menu. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Describe. But, Christian, but he did not. That's why absolute is incredible. But absolute is still, there is a fact which you are describing. You understand? This is no perception of thought, no perception of logic. So that is the particular practice for bodhisattvas for many, many years in his past life. So no perception of the subject, no perception of the object. Okay. And today, why if Buddha, these bodhisattvas should have perception of either Dhamma or no Dhamma, they would thereby seize on the self, on the being, on the soul, on the person. And why? Because a bodhisattva shouldn't seize on either Dhamma or no Dhamma. Therefore, this saying has been taught by the Tathagata with hidden meaning by those who know the discourse on Dhamma as like unto a raft. Dhammas should be forsaken. Still more, so no Dhamma. Okay, no Dhamma. So, if you have perception of either a Dhamma or no Dhamma, okay? If you have a perception of either object or non-object, this is still perception. Okay? For instance, in the Zen, all you have to do is to be one with the Zen. That means non-thinking. Not thinking. Okay? Don't think anything. Okay? Don't think anything is what you mean. Think not thinking. Well, what you mean? Not to think, not thinking. That means to think is also think. Okay? Do you understand? Be clear. To think is also to think. Or not think is also to think. Think. So, both are possessions. Both are possessions created by your consciousness. So you try not to think, not to think. But you try to not to think is always to think. Is that clear? So you cannot have a possession of Dhamma or no Dhamma. If Buddha teaches no perception of object, you say, oh, no perception of object. So, you lose the hope. But this is nihilism. You fall into nihilism. I don't mean that. That's why here says, no perception of Dhamma, no perception of non-Dhamma. You cannot attach to either one of them, because both are still thinking down, thinking up. So you are still involved in object, possession of object. Whatever you say, possession of object or no possession of object, whatever you say, negatively or affirmatively, whatever you say, you are still involved in perception of object. That's why you cannot attach to either one of them, negatively or affirmatively. If you attach to one of them, that is attachment to self, I told you before, a perception of a self, perception of a being, a perception of a soul, perception of a person. I told you before, did you understand? So, we shouldn't attach to this. So, that means the object is not something you can attach to. That means object is not something which is accurate, or not something real. Object is provisional being. Provisional being. But it's pretty hard to understand this. So, I want to explain this. Why? Why do you believe that a thing seems to be accurate? Even the Buddha says everything is provisional being. But you don't believe because there is a book. See? There is a book. No one believes this is provisional being. You say this is a being which is real or accurate. Here it is. You don't believe. Well, for instance, if you see the movie, well, you know the movie, what are you looking for, watching? You watching the screen, pictures on a screen. But world created by the picture on the screen is not real world. This is a provisional world. Okay? Provisional world. So you believe pretty well that is a provisional world. So don't worry. Don't worry about whatever happens. Whatever scary scene happens or whatever things happens, don't cry, don't surprise, whatever. So sit down on a chair, watch the screen. Finally you cry. You cry and you jump up. When something happens, awful things happen. Did you see that? John. You scream immediately. But it is not real beings. It's really the artificial shark. Also, that is a provisional being. Created on the screen, but you scream simultaneously. Why you scream? Because you are participating. You are participating in that provisional world. That kind of provisional world is no longer provisional. That is actual being. It's turned into actual being. Do you understand? Yes? Is that clear? It's completely turned into actual being. So, always you are being with, okay? Screen, picture, on the screen. Intellectually, you believe that is a provisional world, but if while you are watching this completely unconsciously or consciously, you are present with provisional being. So, provisional being turns into his actual being. So, that's why you cry and you smile with the screen, with the picture, with the world. Are created on screen. So from this point, we are always moving toward object. Okay? Moving toward object. Always. That time, object is no longer. Provisional being. Because if you move toward object initiatively, okay, the object becomes actual being. Because object is no longer object. Object is with you. You are an object. So, finally, there is no gap. So you complete. You become a tree. Become a tree. Tree becomes you. Becomes you. So, initially, we are always moving toward object. Okay? Toward object. Participating in, being engaged in. At that time, object becomes work. Object becomes working, pre-work, with you simultaneously. On the other hand, this is the one point, okay? So, the subject always moving toward object. Okay? Another aspect is not always subject initiatively moving toward object. Sometimes object moves toward subject. Okay, so it's when you walk on the street and a big rock is right in front of you, and then you stumble over. But to stumble over means rock exists. But that rock gives you a sense of resistance, kind of resistance, or kind of what you say, antagonism, okay? Antagonism. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You can, but rock is real being, rock is a being what seems to be very accurate. Touching your consciousness, touching your body, okay? Your hand. But sometimes you cannot touch your hand and with your body. Okay? Sort of anger, your enemy. Okay? Your enemy or your anger cannot touch with your body. But it's really something exists. Okay? Because that hatred, anyway, gives you a sense of antagonism to you. So at that time, object becomes not provisional being, object becomes completely actual being. Do you understand? So object comes up to you, subject comes up to you. So, if you want to make a poem, or if you want to paint the pictures of all the trees, anyway, you have to talk. Okay? You have to move initially to the tree. Okay? And talk. If you go to the wilderness, okay? You are surrounded by perfect quietness. In the first stage, you start to talk to yourself, okay? Because surrounding is completely quiet, okay? So nothing to talk with somebody. Okay? So you talk with yourself. But even though you talk, so for no matter how long you talk to yourself, okay, in your heart, sometimes with your mouth, but still quiet. So finally, you get exhausted. So you return to the quietness, completeness. Okay? So, second stage, you talk to the nature. Wait a minute. So at that time, well, if you talk to the witness, initially, witness speaks to you. So finally, you feel enjoy. Really enjoy. Okay. So two types of provisional being. Okay, provisional. Why do we believe that a thing seems to be accurate? Not provisional. because you are participating in. You are participating in, or you are engaged in the provisional being, the initiative you always do. On the other hand, object always move, comes to you, giving a kind of a resistance or antagonism. So, at that time, it is also a sense of being accurate, or actual being. You know, according to psychology, you know, the idea of empathy, you project yourself into trees. At that time, trees becomes you. Okay? So if you want to talk with a tree, you have to project yourself into tree. Okay? Because at that time, tree speaks to you. Okay? For instance, this is very natural. Okay? For instance, if you feel melancholy, pensive, at that time, the surrounding environment becomes melancholy. Completely melancholy. Whatever I tell you, you don't understand. If you feel sad, everything becomes sad. When it rains, the whole world becomes miracle. But above the sky, go up to the sky with the airplane, above the clouds, it's shining. But when it rains, you don't feel good, because whole world seems to be miracle. It means we can move initially to the object creating our world. Okay? Our world. In other words, the world doesn't exist alone. The world is always exists, connected with subject. In many ways. but not always we cannot believe in that way. For instance, even though you feel melancholy, if you see the beautiful morning sun rising, okay, you feel good. Do you think so? So not always we create our environment through our feelings, okay? But sometimes objects create you, even though you feel sad. Anyway, if you see the morning sun rising, you feel great. You feel how beautiful it is. That means, well, according to the empathy, that is, well, that understanding is a mistake, a misunderstanding, because, so, if morning sun rising makes you happy, at that time you believe that morning sun rising has a mind. As well as your mind. But according to empathy, psychology, this is a misunderstanding. This is a delusion. Because you project yourself into the morning sun, and then you believe that it seems to have a mind. But actually, there is a sun, morning sun, apart from you. But this is what psychological understanding. But this is a misunderstanding according to, broadly speaking, because we describe distinguish between subject and object. But if you see all aspects of the subject and object differently, separately, always there is very, what would you say, not warm feeling of the world. Warmness, not feel of the warmth communicating between the subject and object. So, important point is, if you see the morning sun, and then morning sun makes you happy at that time, well, whatever, interest in whatever you think, morning sun has any mind, feeling, has a feeling. That feeling is complete universal. Okay. That feeling is something through which we can have spiritual rapport, okay, between morning sun and you. Well, psychologically, this is universal consciousness, or according to Buddhism, that is Buddha nature. Okay. So, the morning sun, the subject, trees, or sentient beings have in this field, universal field, as well as we have. Yeah. That's why we can communicate with each other. So object is not always something giving the a sense of resistance, okay, resistance or antagonism. Okay. Object is one. Object is a being which exists in universal, okay, entity, universal, a huge universal vision. We exist in that way because when you are born, okay, your mother took care of you. Okay. The mother is your object. But mother is, if you believe a mother is your object, at that time, that object is consciously or unconsciously given a certain resistance, a sense of resistance. Oh, your mother is such a big mother. Boy, you don't like it. But baby, she doesn't care. For baby, mother is huge, okay? Big tree, okay? By which he is supported in broad sense. Okay? So subject and object are, anyway, you should accept the object, okay? By which you are supported by, okay? By which you are supported constantly. Not giving a sense of resistance or sort of antagonism. That's why object and subject are always communicating, okay? Interconnected. Okay, more point. okay. I think you understand. Why do we believe a thing seems to be actual being, okay? Not provisional being, okay? I explain this. Because by participation in your object, at that time, object as a provisional being turns into actual being. Okay? So that means there is always a sense of actuality. If you take away this a sense of actuality, okay, because this a sense of actuality comes from very common human activity. Okay. But if you take away this a sense of actuality, there are two kinds of thinking. One is recognition. Something is recognition. cognition. The other is aesthetic, what would you say, contemplation. The function of recognition or cognition, you don't be engaged in object. You completely keep away from. You feel something objectively. So there is no feeling of warmth. Completely you see object. Then try to understand origin of your object. This is science. On the other hand, the function of aesthetic contemplation is through the aesthetic and through your consciousness. Through your consciousness. You don't participate in the object, but through the consciousness, through the aesthetic contemplation, you can merge yourself into the object. Aesthetic contemplation means, in other words, intuition, or according to particular term is wisdom. So through the wisdom, you don't participate in your object, but through the wisdom, you can merge yourself into your object. This is the function of aesthetic contemplation. The other one is the aesthetic contemplation. This is kind of religious way of understanding. But aesthetic contemplation is still in the realm of philosophy or psychology, philosophical or metaphysical in the realm. So, religiously, particularly in Buddhism, practically, with our body, we participate. Directly participate, but you participate in your object with wisdom. At that time, the activity of participation in your object becomes very pure. A sense of purity, undefined practice. Because you participate, you merge yourself into your object with your wisdom. Not carelessly, you participate in the object. You don't participate, well, at random. You participate in with wisdom, merge yourself into your object. So, even though you participate, this participation is not defiled participation, human activity. This is undefiled human activity. So, this is religious activity. So, that's why according to Buddhism, the subject is no perception of subject. Object is no perception of object. Then you cannot have perception of object or perception of non-object. You cannot. That means object is nothing but provisional being. But provisional being is not to object. to ignore the existence of your object. You should take care of your object. How? This is the practice. How? So, in a sense, common sense, we are always participating in the that kind of provisional being turns into actual being. So there is no gap. But without deep understanding, without wisdom, okay, you can participate in, and also finally you will be confused, grief, so cry, expressing emotional situation, emotional feeling, crying, screaming, very much. Expressing anger, etc. But religiously, you have to participate in your object with wisdom. So there is some control, adjustment, okay, for the emotional expression or consciousness, the conscious pattern, okay, and various patterns of body and mind situation. So this is, that's why Buddha always says, okay, always says, everything is empty. That means impermanence. Okay. Impermanence is everything is changing. Okay. That means everything is provisional being, temporized. Okay. Temporized, everything is best. The second means, through what you should fall into pessimism now. That is pointing out how to participate in provisional being, okay? How to take care of. Okay? So it really depends on your attitude, how to participate in your art. Sometimes it becomes a cause of pessimism, sometimes cause of confusion, sometimes cause of happiness, sometimes cause of unhappiness, sometimes cause of neutral. Nothing to say. Okay? So, that's why it says the Smriti, if the Smriti, these bodhisattvas should have a perception of either a dharma or non-dharma. They would thereby see the unself on a being, on a soul, on a person. Why? Because the bodhisattva shouldn't see on either a dharma or a no-dharma. Therefore, this saying has been taught by the Tathagata with a hidden meaning, by those who know the discourse on dharma as light unto a raft. Dharmas should be forsaken. Still more, so no dharma. That simile of raft is occurs in Buddha scriptures. If you cross the river with raft, if you have crossed the river with your raft, you cannot carry it with your back. So you should leave it there. Leave it there. If you reach the other shore. So that means no perception of the subject, no perception of the object. That means if you study at the school in order to get the master degree or the PhD, get a degree. Study art, get a degree. But it is not the final stage you have to make. You have to stay there. You have to leave. You have to leave PhD. That's the other shore. Then without anything, you should share your life with all situations. If you stay with a PhD, well, you cannot be stupid. That's not sharing with your life, with the poor people, with the suffering people. people to suffer. Because you are often proud in yourself, okay? Too much. I am a doctor. Okay? You are not doctor. Okay? I am a doctor, student, I am a teacher. First bow. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then, what do you want? I want to teach you. Give me money. So that is the pre-heart to communicate with each other. So, forget it. If you get the PhD, it doesn't escape from you. It's always with you. So, forget it. So all you have to do is forget it and share your life with all the children. Understand the professional being?
somewhere in the story about the Buddha, he was practicing meditation in one of his lifetimes in a garden, and this king came up to him and saw him and remembered him and got extremely angry and stuff and butchered him, chopped him down in pieces, and the Buddha just calmly watched him there. With the Buddha, he was watching him. That came, the Buddhist perception of divisional being.
Compassion. Yeah, that is the motivation of his becoming a monk, leaving the castle. Because he saw certain teacher of farmers. That means what you mean? Mm-hmm. Farmers, the cultivated.
No.
And chopping the worms and the birds came and pick the worm and eat it.
No.
Hmm?
Different
story?
Yeah. Buddha was sitting in a grove. Meditating. This was one of his past lives. The same Buddha, one of the stories said that he was sitting in this grove and this king came along into the grove and saw the Buddha there and he remembered something that he thought the Buddha had done for him in his past life and got extremely angry, took out his sword, and the Buddha put out his hand telling him to stop, and first he chopped off his hand, and then he started chopping the Buddha to pieces, and the Buddha didn't say a word and watched. So the Buddha looking at that man, at the provision of that divine, the provision of being.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that it wouldn't be very good if you would act like that, if you would act like people aren't real. If somebody comes up to you and starts chopping at you.
Well, don't commit suicide. There's someone who chops your neck and done your hand. If they have a chance to, you should have taken it. Because there is also provisional being. Your provisional being means a possibility. The eternal possibility. To kill you or not to kill you. Mm-hmm. See? Provisional being. It really depends on you to kill you or not to kill you. To animate you or to kill you. So, if you believe all sentient beings as just a provisional being, intellectually, well, someone can come and chop your neck. Okay, you're a provisional being. Ridiculous. So, for regional being, in a different term, that is eternal possibility. Provisional being means we don't know tomorrow. We don't know 2 minutes. We don't know your life after going out of this center. Because you're provisional being. And you are sitting here listening to Buddha's teaching. This is just a provisional being. And then when you go out, this is also a provisional being. You are not. That means possibility. Wonderful possibility. In which you can unmake you or you can kill yourself. Provision being doesn't is not a teaching which creates a pessimistic all this possibility in the future. You feel sad, not okay, it's not easy, but there is another possibility here, in a moment. In a moment. Right? Hope.
You speak of the concept of no self, and at the same time, constantly referred to the idea of past lives, and somehow I have difficulty reconciling.
No self doesn't mean to ignore the existence of self, okay? Ignore the existence of subject. But there is still perception of understanding of a self, okay? Understanding of a subject. And if you understand the self or through the present life, then you can realize how sublime it is and how unfathomable the self is. Okay? You cannot understand the yourself in the present, okay? According to present time. Because your life is too broad. Sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes you understand who you are, but strictly speaking, you don't understand who you are. Because that your life anyway has been connected with the past life. So, but if you if we say like this, immediately we say there is something which leads you to, okay, which something which exists for long, from the past to the front, to the present, to the future. Okay. That is perception of a soul. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, I don't think so. That even though no soul, that still there is. You cannot attach to the soul, but you cannot attach to no soul. Okay? No soul. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have perception of the object or non-object. Okay? You cannot have perception of thinking or non-thinking. You cannot say so. Do you understand? So, finally, well, the self is broad, but what is that? I cannot explain, but it's there, it's there. But it's there, but it is not something which exists eternally, because you cannot pin down what it is. So, the Buddhist means always not to touch the extreme ideas. Okay? Perception of soul, perception of not soul. Because everything is working dynamically, constantly. That means if that understanding that everything working dynamically leads you to touch the core of real life. free of life. Which is free alive? Okay, free alive.